it doesn't matter if there's two or three here, God's with us. And I hope and I pray that you came today not to hear a particular preacher, but you came to hear a message from the Lord Almighty. And I pray and I hope, as we've already sang, that Jesus paid it all, that you truly know that Jesus paid it all for you. He paid every last cent, every last payment for you and me. And that should, I don't know about y'all, but it gets me excited to know that my debt has been paid, and it has been paid in full. So if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah today. We're going to be in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah. But I kind of want to, like, when Pastor David called me or texted me and said, hey, could I preach this morning? It was one of those weeks. It was kind of a strange week. You know, I've been praying and been praying, you know, God, what would you have me preach on? Send me a message, you know. It never fails. God's always just in time. When you need it, God's there. When you need to have a word, God will give you that word. And, you know, I searched and I was reading scripture. You know, we had Youth Wednesday night and we nothing really just kind of jumped out at me. And if you've ever had to give a sermon, or you ever had to give a lesson, and you really didn't have a clear indication, as each day gets closer to that point, it's human nature to get what? Worried. Like, okay, Lord, I believe in you. I know you're true, and I know you're just in time, but could you please fast forward just a little bit and give me what you want to preach? And so Colson had a game yesterday. We had to drive all the way to Appalachia for his football game in the semifinals. And I'd heard this song before, and I love how God can speak through anything. God can speak through you. God can speak through me. He can speak through our kids, our friends, a song, a sunrise, or an event in your life. And God can use anything to get his glory. Would y'all agree with that? Anything. But we have to be open and receptive to how he's going to show us this. And so we was driving down the road, and I don't know if many of you have heard the song. It's a fairly new song. Last couple weeks it's come out. It's Matthew West, Truth Be Told. And it is a very powerful song if you listen to it. And God started dealing with me, and he really broke me after listening to this song. And I was driving. You know, it's kind of hard when you start praising the Lord and you're driving. That's always a dangerous situation, because sometimes you get overwhelmed. Maybe you want to raise your hand, but you're driving. Or you get tears in your eyes. That's not a good thing when you're driving down the road. But God started dealing with me, and I'm going to read a few verses of this. And then we're going to dive into Jeremiah 8. But I'm going to read a couple of verses. And look, I was joking this morning. I said, I don't sing. But if I could, I'd sing this song. But I can't sing. And God hadn't told me to sing it. So I'm just going to read some of these verses. And it says, one of the verses, it says, I'm fine. I'm really fine. But we are just broken. And I want to ask you, how many times have you told somebody you were fine, but you were broken? Do it all the time, right? You come to church. How you doing? Great, and you had the worst week of your life. Or things going on. I'm fine. It says, we say it all together. Everybody's life is perfect, but mine's a mess. We keep our messes and our wounds behind closed doors. When we are honest, the only way to fix it is to be honest. And this is one that kind of really hit me as a church. It says, there's a sign on the door that says, come as you are. But I doubt it, because if we live like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. Think about that. If we truly believe, come as you are. We truly believe, come as you are. Broken, beaten, hurt. Our pews would be what? Full. But I ain't even talking about, the unsaved. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about God's chosen one, God, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and yet you're having things going on in your life, you're broken, you're tired, but yet we don't come for whatever reason, all right? We don't come. And so God began to use the last couple of verses of that song, and it said, oh God, if that's really true, then let the truth be told. So let the truth be told. And there's a lot of good stuff. I encourage you to go on the way home, look it up, Matthew West, Truth Be Told. It's a great song. But it challenges, and I even went last night when I got home from the football game. I wanted to know why he wrote the song. And he wrote the song because he said too many times in his personal life, he had put a show on. He proclaimed Jesus Christ at his shows and out in his public. But deep down in his heart of hearts, he was broken. And I was like, man, how many times do we do that? How many times do we hide our brokenness? So my encouragement today, if you're broken and you're here, praise the Lord. If you're broken and you're here, there's help. You don't have to leave here broken. I can't say that your situation, I'm not going to put $1 million in your bank account. I can't say you'll even be healed physically. But I can make this promise to you because God, that is God's promise as well, that if you come to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and you seek help, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get help. He's going to heal you. Your brokenness will become complete. All right? And if you're lost, you never heard Jesus Christ, you never heard the gospel, you're broken because you've never experienced Jesus Christ, the altar of salvation is how you get healed. And some of us today, there's no doubt in my mind, there's here people here that are lost. There's people here that are backslidden. There's people here that need a touch today. And I really hope and I do pray as we read these verses and read this scripture that you hear what God has gave me because he reminded me of Jeremiah. And if you read a lot through Jeremiah, and it talks about how he served really with a broken heart. He really had compassion. He really would plead with the people to turn away from what they were doing. And he would plead with them and plead with them. And I began to think about in my life how many times either my parents or some of my people who poured into me, like pleaded with me. They were broken because what I was doing. They were broken because maybe I was in sin. They were broken because I hadn't gotten saved. They were broken because I just wasn't living for Christ. And God began to say, man, because I have 3 kids of my own, and how many times I have laid up at night and I've been praying because they're doing this, or I don't want anything to happen to them. I want them to serve the Lord. And I had a brokenness about me that I wanted them to be all after Jesus. And I didn't really understand that whole compassion until I had kids. You know, and so this whole brokenness for somebody else really hit me when I had kids. Really hit me. And so if you would stand to your feet this morning and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Now, look, bear with me. I'm going to read maybe 10, 12, maybe 15 verses in Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to start with verse 5. So Jeremiah 8, verse 5. And it says, why then is the people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented with of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And how do you say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Where they are ashamed when they have committed abomination. Nay, they were not all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them in the fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we still assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities? Let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We've looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of the horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwelleth therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrice among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. Just two more verses. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of people because of them that dwelleth in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You may be seated, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our kind and gracious Father God, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this opportunity to stand before these people. God, I thank you for the willingness to turn their back upon their home. God, as it's been mentioned, God, if there's one here that is broken today, God, that I do pray that you will send anointing to them. God, I pray that you will send healing to them. God, if there's one here that's never heard the gospel, that through this this message that you've given me and through you speaking through me, that God, they will see a risen Savior. They will see a Savior reaching out for them to help them, to pull them out of their despair. God, I do pray for those who are listening online, God, whatever their case may be, that God, that you will touch them through the reading of your word and speaking. And God, I do pray for this church, God, as we continue to fight the good fight, that God, we make a difference in our community for you. And God, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and glory for it. And it's these things I ask in your name. Amen. So we read a lot of verses today. That's like you know, about put me, I need some water. Not really, but like that makes you read so many verses. But there's so much to unpack in these verses. And I'm only gonna have 3 points unless God sends me somewhere else. But these verses had a lot of things. So Jeremiah obviously is telling and pleading with what's going on. And we see some very important things that Jeremiah is talking about. And so this question that I have for you today is, so what breaks your heart? So what breaks your heart this morning? It could be your heart is broken because you're lost. You are needing salvation. It could be your heart is broken right now because you have went through the worst year, the worst month of your life, and you're broken. Hey, it could be that you've got a child that is astray. Maybe you got a loved one that's going through a sickness that the doctors don't know what's going on. You are broken. Your heart is broken for that. Maybe it's, look, being real and transparent, maybe you are not doing what the Lord has put before you, and you're broken because you're not happy. You're not content. You are struggling with this internal, you know, you want to go here, God's wanting you to go there. So there's lots of ways that we can be broken today. And lots of different ones. But I want to point out what Jeremiah is pointing out here to the people that he is writing to. Jeremiah is pointing out that they are sinning and not returning to God. They are, and so the point would be, let your heart be broken by turning from your sin. See, when I sin as a saved person, it should break my heart. It should break me to my core. It should get me, like gut punch me, that I am sinning against the one who saved me. But what do we see today in today's society? Do we see that true, just gut-wrenching heartbrokenness over our sin? I don't think we see that. I think we see, we put it behind closed doors. We tell everybody that we're doing okay. We're openly sinning, we're openly thinking things, we're openly saying things, but yet we compact it, put it aside, and we hide it. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. When we hide our sin and we don't deal with our sin and we keep, let that sin fester for a while, and one sin becomes two. Two becomes four. Four becomes eight. See, it don't go one at a time. It goes exponentially. And before you realize it too long, your one sin has taken you 100 steps away from the Lord. Then your second sin has taken you 200 steps away from the Lord. And by the end of the year, guess what? You don't even know where the Lord is because you've started running from the Lord then. And you don't have this whole, you get callous to the whole idea of sin. And so when Jeremiah is saying here in verse 5, he goes and he points out, when then this is the people of Jerusalem slidden back by the perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and refuse to return. You know, I begin to think about my life and my journey and my walk. There has been times that I have held on to some things that I shouldn't have held on to. When God is clearly saying, let go, turn away, go this way. And I'm not saying they were bad things. Sometimes it was my own ambitions of being something that God didn't want me to be. Maybe I wanted to be a baseball player. Y'all know me, I'm 5'10". I ain't going to make the pros, all right? Yeah, I couldn't be a basketball player either, right? But like if I held on to that desire and I did everything in my possible ability and I just consumed my life with being a basketball player, and God says, look, man, I made you 5'10". You can't jump. You ain't going to make it. I mean, I'm being real, but guess what I'm saying? I could be the first one. Just watch. And I spent day and night and day working for it. Great work ethic. But yet God's been telling me, go this way. But I'm doing it this. I should be heartbroken over that sin. Because if God is telling you to go do something and we don't, guess what it is? Newsflash, it's sin. It's sin. If God tells you to go and speak to somebody and we don't, you justify it. You just said, no, I'm good. I'm good. Send somebody else. Wow. You just told the God of the universe, time out. I'm good. And then we wonder why we're not going anywhere. Then we wonder why, God, are you still there? Well, he's still there. He's still speaking. But we've put these on. You ever, anybody with kids going to know this. When like the brother and sister start fighting and they don't want to hear, what do? That's what we do to Jesus sometimes. But guess what? It don't work. Like we don't work. It's crazy. But we do that. Oh, we put our sunglasses on because he can't see us now. I'm going to hide from the Lord. I'm going to run away. I'm going to go and do it in this back corner. Nobody's going to see. He does. We should be heartbroken about our sin today. But unfortunately, we live, I do believe that what's wrong with today, society, and I'm going to start with what's wrong with me. Like we hold fast to 1 John 1:9, right? So 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he's what? What's he going to do? That's right. He is going to not only, and first it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. And then it says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord, that's exactly right. But here's what happens. We'll say, God, I'm sorry. And then 2 days later, go back and do it again. God, I'm sorry that I did this. But we go do it again. God, I'm really sorry this time. I know it's the third time, but I'm sorry. But you see, we miss the second part of that. And when God tells us that we, when we say we're sorry and we truly repent, the second part of repentance is what? Don't do it again. Run from it. Fastest way to get rid of temptation, flee it. Run from it. You see it coming, go the other way. And I'm talking about dead on sprint, don't look back. You see somebody tempting you, flee it. Get rid of it. Get away from it. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care how good a walk you have. I don't care how old, how young, how long you've been saved. If there's sin in your life enough and around you, you're going to do something. You're going to get closer to it. You see, we've made sin a gray area. We've made sin a gray area. Well, when God looks at sin, it's a definite line. You either are or you're not. You either saved or you're not. Either it's a sin or it's not. There's no gray area. But our society has gotten really good at smearing that line, and we get as close to that sin as we can. But see, I'm not in it. I'm not sinning. But yet, from somebody looking over there, you look like you are because you're standing right next to the line, and they can't tell where the line is. Or this is the best one we did, and we're guilty of this. This person over here is worse than I am. They've killed somebody. They committed adultery. I haven't done that. We justify our sins. And yet we're not heartbroken by that. And so we might confess it, but we don't run from it. And we kind of treat it as a one time, hey, I say I'm sorry, I'm good. But true repentance is a process. True repentance is, hey, I ask for forgiveness, I say that I'm sorry, but yet I flee and I run and I get as far as I can. And the best example that I thought of, and it was dealing with kids. Anybody ever got onto your kid for doing something and the first response, I'm sorry, Dad. Like, I'm talking about, like, you hadn't even got out of your mouth your complete sentence of what they did wrong, and they've already said they're sorry. Anybody do that, or just my kids? Have we ever done that too? I'm sorry. All right. What are they really sorry? But why are they really sorry? Anybody ever thought about that? Are they sorry because they did something? Or are they sorry because they got caught? And in my short experience of being a parent, and not my kids are perfect, they're not great. They're not great. They're great all the time, right? They're mine. They're the apple of my eye. I love them. I think they're perfect. But in the reality of the world is, are they perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But yet they're sorry because they know what's coming next. They're going to get a punishment. They're not sorry because they hurt somebody's feelings or they said something bad. They've not been heartbroken by what they said. Man, I've done that so many times in my life. I don't know about y'all, but if you're being real, we say I'm sorry, but we're really not sorry. That's scary too, right? We haven't been heartbroken by saying that. And so we this is a cycle that we live in. We're not heartbroken enough to run and repent from our sins. We're just sorry because we got caught. And I begin to think about that. And man, you want to change your walk with the Lord? Truly repent from your sins. You want to get closer to the Lord? Repent from your sins. Because when you repent from your sins, you flee from sin. And sin is what separates us from the Lord, right? That's the definition, right? We want to be away, 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 away from sin so we can get really, really, really close to God. And you know, sin is what cost us. Sin is what the reason why we can't ourselves make it to heaven. If I could pay for my sins, there wouldn't be a need for a Savior, right? But I can't pay for my sins. Jesus paid for my sins. And so when I begin to think about these verses, and Jeremiah was pleading with Jerusalem here, he pointed it out, and man, he's like pointing directly at us today. We are refusing to return to the Lord. And you would say, well, Brent, I've never said I'm not going to, I've never said that. You didn't have to. Your actions said it. And actions sometimes speak louder than what? Words. And so if I'm truly heartbroken, I'm going to be at an altar. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to have just a gospel-centered life. I'm going to be following Jesus. I'm going to be looking for places to serve. And when I do sin, because guess what? We are human. We are going to sin. Newsflash, that's your public service announcement of the day. You're going to. But it's what you do afterwards that's so important. Do you let this sit and let it fester? Or do you go fix it? Or do you go to Jesus and say, I am so sorry, and you flee it? You see, it's a two-step process. Flee it and don't go back to it. And so I truly think repentance is a gift of grace from God. You know, when you truly repent of something, I think that I don't know about y'all, but when you've really repented and you've run from that sin, there's a weight lifted off of you. There's a weight lifted off of you. You get a peace without understanding. But when I don't do that, I still have that tug that I know that I haven't done it all. And so I go back to the song they sang this morning. Jesus paid it all. I am so glad Jesus didn't go halfway up the hill and say, I'm good, this is good enough. Or he'd get up on the cross and say, all right, take a picture, I'm good. Put it on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it is. He didn't do that, right? He didn't just do just for sight and just to be seen. Jesus paid it all. He was heartbroken about it and paid it all for you and I. And so then Jeremiah talks through verses 7 through 13. It talks about some of their conditions of why. And this is the next point that I want to bring up. We should be heartbroken by God's word. When I read God's word, if you're truly getting into God's word and you're reading it and you're studying it, I don't know about y'all, but there's moments in there when I'm reading it and I get heartbroken. Broken. It's like I just get just broken for it. It might be for my kids. It might be for my church. It might be for my parents. It might be for my ministry. It might be for our country, our leaders. But I get heartbroken because of God's word has spoken to me. And if you look in verse 9 tells us these wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them. Man, how many times do we neglect God's word? How many times do we put it as a checkbox? And instead of diving in and rereading and learning and being heartbroken about having a hunger to learn for and learn about the Lord and having and just basically taking all of the knowledge that God is giving us through his word and we dive into it. But you see, Jeremiah is telling him the reason that you are backslidden so far, you're not going back to the Lord and you basically have shunned the word of God. You are not reading God's word. You don't know God's word. And so it's hard to really get close to the Lord, A, if you don't pray, have a conversation with him, and B, if you don't read his word, you don't know his word, so you don't really know how good he is and what he has done for you. Like, it doesn't sink in. Yes, I've told you, yes, he's died for your sins, but when you start reading the things that he did and how heartbroken he was, and he goes to prayer and he's crying and he's bleeding because he cared for you and me. Like, it puts a whole new perspective of how much he was heartbroken for you and I. I mean, he was broken completely for you and I. And so when this whole idea, Jeremiah is telling him, look, you're basically turning away from the Lord. And so when I began and started thinking about this, James came to mind. Famous verse in James. We're not to be just hearers of the word, but we're to be doers of the word. I can't just hear the word. I can't just read the word. It's got to become action for it to matter. You've got to act upon that heartbrokenness for the word, that hunger for the word. But you see, a lot of times we hear it, we know what it says and what we're supposed to do, but all we got to do is do this. Ready? It's really, really complicated. We just got to go. We just got to take a step towards God. We got to take another step. And like, I ain't asking you to run a marathon just yet. Because that's what it is. Our life is a marathon run for Jesus, right? But it starts with the first. Any marathon starts with the first step. Any race starts with the first step. And so for me to race after the Lord, guess what? All it takes is this right here. And some of us, we start off real slow. Maybe right here. And look, being real, some of us sometimes do this. Sometimes we do take a step back because we've lost our hunger for the world, the word. We've lost our hunger for Jesus. We've lost our hunger for prayer. And so we have to, sometimes we stay there for a minute and we have to like allow God to pour into us, allow the church to pour into us, allow the church to disciple us, and then we start growing, right? But look, church, I want to encourage you and challenge you. If you know somebody that's just recently been saved or has been saved in the last year, check up on them. See how they're doing, because I can promise you the first year of your salvation is probably one of the hardest times, because when you start saying, I'm saved, you do what? No, you're not. That's one of the hardest times, and too many times we get them saved, and we are not us, but Jesus saves them, and we're like, all right, we put them on the, we check off they're saved, and then we don't pick up the phone to check on them. Goes back to having that hunger for God's word. God's word tells us to disciple them, all right? Tells us to go after them and check up on them and be there. It tells the elders and the wise to mentor the younger generation. God has ordained and has set aside what the church is supposed to look like, that the elders pour into the younger generation pour into the kids. And guess what we all do? All in the umbrella, we all are the kingdom of God and we're the hands and feet of God. And that is how it's supposed to look. But unfortunately, too many times, and I've done this as well, the young people try to tell the old people what to do. You may have done that? I've told my parents all the time, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do this. You know how that worked out for me? Sorry, Dad. Should have listened to you. Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt. All right? Sometimes you got the black eye, broken bone. They're trying to help you. You know, that's what the church, we're supposed to be helping and discipling. And so this whole heartbroken for the word, Jeremiah is telling, he is trying to pour into them, you are missing the mark because you're not going back to the Lord. You're not heartbroken for the word. And so therefore, I mean, you're just completely missing the whole entire mark of what you're supposed to be doing. And it is an absolute wreck. So if you're heartbroken today, start asking and looking, why are you heartbroken? Because here's the thing. You have to be honest with yourself, just as that song said. The only thing that can fix your heartbrokenness is you got to be honest why you're heartbroken. You can't lie and keep lying and expect to be whole. You have to be willing to man up or woman up, so to speak, and say, I'm heartbroken because you know what? I'm not serving the Lord. I'm heartbroken because I'm not reading God's word. I'm heartbroken because I'm not even talking to God. And man up and woman up and say, you know what? But my God's grace is sufficient. And all I got to do is come back running back to Him. Back to an altar. Back to an altar of repentance. And repent and get back on the track and back on path with the Lord. And so when I began to think about how it could apply to our life today in today's society, it really boils down to this. The third point today that God has given me is our heart should be troubled, should be heartbroken about the urgency that is required. So I want you to think about our world and think about where it's going, how it's gone, and what's going on. And not many people are going to say, man, our world is going great places. Would anybody say it's going great places? Be hard-pressed to find a lot of people to say that. Or how about this? Our world's going to Christ or from Christ? Probably more from Christ, right? That's what the Bible tells us. It's going to become a time where it's what's going to happen. You know, keep reading that Bible. But when this whole idea of urgency. Now, I'm not a farmer. Don't proclaim to be a farmer. I know about chickens. That's about it. I grew up on a chicken farm. But as far as planting a massive crop, I know very basics. I know you got to do stuff to the ground to get it ready. Okay? You got to cultivate the ground. You got to make sure that you have the right ground. Because there's a lot of people who plant, you can't plant it on stony ground, right? You got to make sure your ground is good. Then you got to make sure your seed is good. And then it wouldn't do no good to plant seed in December, would it? Not going to work. So there's a time to plant. Well, then there's a time to fertilize. There's a time to water, okay? The process, there's a certain amount of time for each of those steps to have a productive crop. Well, then you got your crop growing up and the Lord has blessed and you're growing. There's also a set time that you've got to harvest. Because if you don't, what happens to your harvest? It rots. It ruins. So there is a time, it's very specific urgency. Now, and I know many farmers, and when it's harvest time, the work's never done, is it? I mean, you're working daylight to dark and all in between. Like, farmers don't take days off. There's always something to be done. I mean, whether getting ready to do something, having to do something, or fixing something that broke, right? That's what I hear. So the urgency of a farmer, they have a limited time frame to produce what they need to produce. And I want to apply that to what we are doing right now for Christ. Y'all do realize that our days are numbered. They are numbered. Jesus is coming back. Amen? We don't know if it's tomorrow, today, 2 weeks, a month, next year. We don't know. But I do know this, we're a day closer. So there is an urgency that the church has to have to spread the gospel. There's an urgency for our own families. If you've got family members that are lost, you should be heartbroken about those family members, so much so that you're praying and you're seeking God's will and that you're going out and saying, hey, I love you. I want you to come to church. God is so good. You know, everything we should be doing should have an urgency. You know, I do a lot of sports references. And I always think like a basketball team's down by two with 30 seconds left. They're not going to sit back in a zone and say, just stand out there and dribble the basketball. They're not going to do that. What are they going to do? They're going to fly to the ball. They're going to try to get the ball, steal the ball. They're going to go frantically for that last 30 seconds because they know that their time is short. But I'm going to be real and transparent with the church today. Do we have that urgency to reach our community? Do we have that urgency to reach that brother and sister that may be a phone call away? Do we have that urgency to tell the clerk at the gas station or the clerk at the wherever you're buying stuff at? Do you have the urgency to say, Jesus loves you? And I'm going to be real and real honest. I think a lot of times we like to think we do, because we have this event at church or that event at church or we go to church. But man, we miss so many opportunities to spread and share the kingdom. And so when I looked at Jeremiah and him pleading with Jerusalem here, pleading with them to turn away from their sin, to turn back to Christ. And the reason they've done it is because they've neglected the word. I'm pleading with us today. I love our church. I think our church is absolutely phenomenal. But can we be better? Can we be more urgent about our desire to share Christ with other people? Can we be urgent to share Jesus with somebody who may die today and spend eternity in hell? Last statistics that I heard, just let you know, it's estimated that over 30 million people worldwide die without Christ each year. 30 million people. There's over 327, 330 million people in the United States right now, and it's estimated that 41% of those in the United States don't ever step foot in a church in a calendar year. They're not CEO Christians. They don't come Christmas and Easter only. They don't step foot in church. 41%. Now, my mathematical skills is pretty slow, but that's about 140 million people never step foot in church, give or take. Give or take. 140 million just in the United States alone. In our backyard. But yet, we don't have the urgency to share the greatest thing that's ever been given to us with somebody that's lost and going to a place called hell. I told you this message hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday. That we hide and we put our suit and ties on, we put our Sunday best on, and we hide behind this appearance. I know I'm ugly, but this appearance. But imagine if I'm this ugly on the outside. Imagine what how ugly it is on the inside sometimes, right? I want to challenge this church. I know this message was for some of you was tough because it wasn't glam and glorious. It was God revealed to me that we're failing as Christians. The urgency isn't there. We're hiding to make ourselves look good. We are hiding our brokenness because I'm going to tell you, it's okay to be broken. Because you serve a Savior that can heal. You serve a Savior that can take whatever's in your life, whatever you're going through, and He can fix. He can heal. He can provide. He can be right there with you. And you would say, well, Brent, well, He didn't do that for me. Not yet. Maybe this so-and-so passed away. But you know what? Maybe He called them to get to you. That's what hit me. Sometimes my own choice of not searching and running to Jesus may cost my kids something. You read it out through the Bible, sins can be generational. My sins or my service can sprinkle down to my own kids and grandkids. If I serve well, and I serve Jesus to my fullest extent, I'm not saying that they're going to serve, but they're more likely to serve. They see that sense, that they see that sense of desire. If they see me come to church on Sunday and live like the world six days a week, that's what their vision of a Christian is. 1.5 hours. But if they see me serve and have compassion and give and read my word, read the word of God and pray, they see that. So church, we have to show that. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, and I'm not saying everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be great and our church is going to have 5,000 people come. Maybe. But I do know this. We will miss the mark of what we need to be doing if we don't return to the Lord. We don't repent of our sins. We don't read His word. And we don't have an urgency to share the kingdom of God. Y'all agree with that? You think there's an urgency today? Raise your hand if you know somebody that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't come to church. I think almost everyone in this room raised their hand. Raise your hand if you don't mind if you've ever been broken. Almost everyone in this room has been broken before. Raise your hand if you've ever hidden that brokenness from somebody. So look, that should encourage you right there, because you ain't alone. You ain't alone. Now watch this. Raise your hand if you know a Savior that can heal, that can help, and that loves you. Amen. And if that's the greatest thing that you've ever been given, because I do believe it's the greatest gift, I want to encourage you this week to share that gift with somebody. If you're not serving God where He wants you to be serving, go serve there. Take that small step and go serve. If He told you to go talk to your brother, your sister, your cousin, your grandma, whoever it may be, the clerk at the gas station, they need Jesus too. Your friend at school, they need Jesus too. Hey, your teacher at school, teachers need Jesus too. But they don't, it's just kind of crazy and how awesome God works. Sometimes it takes somebody going up to somebody and saying, hey, this is what God's told me to tell you. And they'll go, it's kind of weird. And then all of a sudden, how'd you know I was going through that? God works things out like that. He's pretty powerful. He's pretty big. You know, my God is big enough. You know, but sometimes I want to put Him in a 4x4 box and put Him in my pocket. My God is bigger. Hopefully you know my God. And so I'm going to ask you, if you'll stand to your feet, and if you have a song, it's okay if you do. If you don't, if you have a song, stand to your feet today. And I really want to ask you a couple of questions and make a couple of statements. Does it break your heart when you see people not practicing and not reading God's word? Does it break your heart when you realize that time is running out for some people? Does it break your heart when you see people self-destructing, chasing after sins, chasing after this world? Does it break your heart when you see people refuse Jesus Christ that can heal them from everything? And if that's the case, if your heart is broken about some of those things, there's an answer. And His name is Jesus. If you're saved, you can go closer to Jesus by true repentance of your sins and running from temptation and running to Jesus. If you've never heard the name of Jesus, maybe you've heard it today for the first time. Jesus came to this earth, lived on this earth, walked on this earth, completely 100% sinless. He never sinned. He walked on the earth that we walk on. He served. The Lord of Lords came to the lowest position, not because He wanted to say, look at me. He said, look at my Father. He never once boasted, never once snapped His finger and had things appear to make Himself look better. Everything Jesus did was for His Father and for His Father's kingdom and the love He had for you and I. He paid the price. He paid it all. The altars are open today. No matter what the situation may be, salvation, repentance, forgiveness, healing, or you're just broken because you got a brother or a sister in Christ, or a brother and sister that doesn't know Christ, and you just want to call their name up to the Lord, I want to encourage you to fill the altars and just pray. So as we sing,